19, there is a verse that I think about really a lot. It crosses my mind an awful lot because it's so simple. It's just got 3 points in it, but yet if we can get those 3 points down, it's just going to help us so much as we battle this world that we're in. We're all facing life, and as was mentioned in a recent invitation, life can get pretty hard sometimes, and we just need God's help to go through those day in and day out moments. Again, the passage is Psalm 119 and verse 11. Psalm 119 and verse 11. The psalmist says, "Your word have I hidden in my heart, that I might not sin against thee." Again, it's a simple passage. But there's three powerful messages in it that I want us to spend our time with this morning that we can take home with us and hopefully use. The first thing that I see in this passage is God says, "Thy word." Thy word. You know, there's been some great words that have been spoken throughout history. Some of you have heard some of the words that have gone down in infamy. I have not had as much opportunity to hear those. One of the ones I'm thinking about was spoken not long before I was born. I was born in December of 1963, but when President John F. Kennedy was inaugurated, he spoke to our country and his words were, "Ask not what your country can do for you, but rather ask what you can do for your country." And people have long remembered that. You may think of words that were spoken right after the bombing of Pearl Harbor. Or it might be even more recent in our days when our president was told as he stood on that heap of rubble, "We can't hear you." And his words were, "I hear you, and the world hears you. And soon those who tore these buildings down will hear from all of us soon." Pretty big words. Words that have gone down in infamy. But none of those words can touch this. Thy word. God has spoken to his people. Think about that for a moment. The God of the universe has spoken to each and every one of us. We call it specific revelation. There's two ways God speaks to us. One of the ways he speaks to us is through the created world. I've always said people who can't see that there's a God, they just need to go outside for a while and look around. The evidence is everywhere. God's footprints and his fingerprints are all over the world. So much so that God says we're without excuse if we can't see it. But God can't teach us but just so much through the things that are made. Oh, we can see power and we can see intelligence and we can see creativity. And we do learn a lot of things about God from looking at a tree or looking at a flower or a bird or whatever. But that only goes so far. What God has done is he's spoken to us specifically in a book. And we sure do need it. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, the Bible says that if God hadn't done that, we would have just all been clueless. We wouldn't have known what to do. Our lives would have just been a total mess had God not spoken. In Jeremiah 10 and verse 23, the writer says, "O Lord, I know that the way of man is not in himself." And so that means that we just don't have it in us to guide ourselves. But it says in the next verse, again, "It is not in man who walks to direct his own steps." So we need somebody to direct our steps. And so what we do is we take this message, "Thy word," which is the greatest message, and we take that and we put it in our hearts. Somebody once said, a man who has a Bible that's falling apart usually has a life that isn't. I never had seen that statement before until somebody gave that to me a while back on a little plaque. It has meant a lot to me. And what that reminds us is that we need to take this message and we need to wear it out. We need to study it, to the point that our Bibles may begin to kind of fall apart. But most of the time, a Bible that's falling apart belongs to a man who isn't, because his emphasis is on the Word of God. And that's what Psalm 119 is all about. Have you ever read Psalm 119? Over and over, he's just talking about what God's Word does for us. I'd like to share three things. Look at Psalm 119 and verse 9. In Psalm 119 and verse 9, just a couple of verses prior. Psalm 119 and verse 9. It says, "How can a young man cleanse his way?" We sing the song, "How shall the young secure their hearts?" Well, here it is. Here's the answer. By taking heed according to your word. Young people, your lives can be protected by looking at the Word of God. That's what the book of Proverbs is all about. The book of Proverbs is about telling you where all the dead ends are so that you don't have to run into them. You can know ahead of time because the Word of God can protect you. That's how you do that. Psalm 119 and verse 24 is another. Psalm 119 and verse 24, it says, "Your testimonies are also my delight, and they are my counselors." We need counselors. We have counselors. Our counselors are the Word of God. In fact, it's always bothered me a little bit, and I'm not saying that there's not a need sometimes for professional counselors. But I've known a number of professional counselors who counsel people to just go ahead and get a divorce because they thought it pretty well hopeless. I want to tell you, professional counselors can get you in trouble if you don't use the right kind. But what we need to realize is we have counselors. We've got it right here. If we'll just read the Word of God, so many of our problems could be solved because your testimonies are my counselors. Look at Psalm 119, verse 97. Psalm 119, verse 97. And I like to say this to young people. Psalm 119, verse 97. "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all the day. You, through your commandments, make me wiser than my enemies, for they are ever with me. I have more understanding than all my teachers, for your testimonies are my meditation. I understand more than the ancients because I keep your precepts." We are thankful here at Oakland. We've just had some young people to graduate from high school. We're so proud of them. And we are always thankful for our young people. One of the things I think we always need to remember, though, young people, is when you go off to college, don't let your teachers lead you astray. There are teachers out there, they have soaked from the world, they don't respect God, they don't love the Word of God, and they would love to undermine your faith. And what this is telling us is that you don't have to be intimidated by your teachers. Your teacher, when you go to school, he might have PhD behind his name, but that doesn't mean that he's wiser than you. Oh, in his field, he may know a lot of things, but it doesn't mean he's wiser than you. This verse says that through God's testimonies, we can have more understanding than all our teachers. So don't let your college teachers intimidate you and make you think they've just got everything all figured out, because they don't. Wisdom is for those who have taken the Word of God. I can cleanse my way with it. It's my counselors, and I have more understanding than all my teachers. What a great blessing. I have the greatest message that has ever been preached to man right here at my disposal. Here's the second thing. Thy word have I hid in mine heart. Now, that's the greatest place. If God's word is the greatest message, here's the greatest place you can put it. The greatest place that you can hide the Word of God is in your heart. And what that's telling us is that God wants us to let this stuff take root. God doesn't want this stuff just to stay on the pages. He wants us to take this, and He wants us to make it a part of us. We're going to talk more about that tonight from John chapter 3. God wants this stuff to get on the inside and change us from the inside out because we have hidden it in our heart. But let me tell you something. You cannot be transformed by what you don't know. So what that means is when it comes to this book, we've got to read it. We started off this year with me, or at least actually I did it in December, challenging all of us to make sure that we read the Bible this year. That you have a plan for reading through the Bible this year. How are you doing with that? Here we are. We've come down to the last of May. How are you doing with that? Are you reading your Bible? Are you reading your Bible every day? Are you taking it in? I think I've mentioned to you that Lowell Salee has been going around and doing surveys in various places about people reading the Bible. And basically what he found is only 1 in 4 Christians say, "I read my Bible every day." That's not good. I personally think it's one of the greatest problems that we have today. One of my greatest concerns is I wonder how much we're reading our Bibles. And so thy word, I have got to read it. I need to ponder it. I need to meditate on it and then make it a part of us. Some time back, I was reading about some prisoners who were Christians. And when they were put in prison in this faraway country, everything was taken away from them. Their Bibles were taken away from them. Everything was gone. All they had was a piece of paper and a pencil. And you know what they did? Those guys began to write down as much of the Bible as they could remember. Now, how are you going to do that? How are you going to get the Bible back on a piece of paper? Well, you can't you can't copy it because you don't have anything to copy it. Where's it going to come from? There's only one place it can come from, and that is from your heart. From what you've already read, from what you've already studied, from what you've already planted. Thy word have I hid in my heart. That's where it's got to be. How much could you commit to paper by memory? How much could I commit to paper by memory? That's a pretty good question, isn't it? So we've got to take this message and we've got to hide it in the greatest place. And let me tell you why we need to hide it in the heart. The reason we need to hide it in the heart is because that's where transformation begins, right there. You can't transform from the outside in. The Pharisees kind of thought that's the way it was. Just clean up the outside and everything's fine with God. It won't work outside in. It's got to work inside out. Look at a couple of passages with me. Matthew 23. Matthew the 23rd chapter and verse 25. Matthew 23 and verse 25. Jesus speaking to the Pharisees, and by the way, this is a Jesus that a lot of people don't know about. He is hammering down in Matthew 23:25. Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees and hypocrites. Boy, he's strong, isn't he? The other day I read an article called I Don't Want My Bible Wrapped in Bacon. And he was talking about a study, how people approach the study of the Bible, but I got to thinking about it from another standpoint. The other day I cooked some meat and I wrapped it in bacon, and it sure was good. You can take meat that tastes pretty bad by itself and wrap it in bacon, and it just goes down smooth. And Jesus taught us that there's times when we do need to do that. There's times when we need to season our speech with salt. But there's also times when Jesus didn't do it. There's also times when Jesus gave it to people right straight. And he did with these Pharisees here. He says, woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, hypocrites. You cleanse the outside of the cup and the dish, but the inside is full of extortion and self-indulgence. Blind Pharisee, first cleanse the inside of the cup and dish, and then the outside will be clean also. He says, if you'll get the inside clean, it'll work from inside out. That's what you need to do. Verse 27. Woe to you, scribes, Pharisees, and hypocrites, for you are like whitewashed tombs, which indeed appear beautiful outwardly, but inside are full of dead men's bones and all uncleanness. You know, you go to a cemetery and you've got these old tombstones. Many of them that are there probably even before the days when they would actually embalm people. Well, now the marker may still look kind of beautiful, but down beneath there is dead men's bones. And so Jesus says to these people, that's where you are, Pharisees. That's where you are. Your outside is clean, but your inside is like a bunch of dead men's bones. Verse 28, even so you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness. Jesus says you've got to get it right from the inside out. Turn to Matthew 15. He teaches the same thing here in Matthew 15. Matthew 15, beginning in verse 1. In Matthew 15, 1, it says, then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus and said, why do your disciples transgress the tradition of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread. Oh, horrors. They've got dirty hands when they eat bread. Jesus said, let me talk to you about something. You're talking about my disciples breaking one of your traditions? Verse 3, he answered and said to them, why do you transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition? Now, my disciples may be breaking a tradition, but you're breaking the word of God. How? Verse 4, for God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father or mother, let him be put to death. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit might be received from me has been dedicated to the temple, is released from honoring his father or mother? You have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Basically, they had a law that said you could dedicate your money to the temple. And if it was dedicated to the temple, then you didn't have to help your parents. So he said, you've made a tradition that kept you from doing what God said to do. And so he says to them in verse 7, hypocrites, well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth, they honor me with their lips, but what? But your heart is far from me. How in the world can you not understand that God said to honor your father and your mother? And if that's in your heart, then when your mama gets sick, you're going to be there. When your daddy needs his diaper changed, you're going to be there. Why? Because it's in my heart to honor my parents. And Jesus basically is saying, if you get it right there, everything else is going to follow. Look at Matthew 15 and verse 16. He says, are you also still without understanding? Do you not yet understand that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and is eliminated? You can't defile a man just because he gets a piece of dirt on his food. Because you're going to take it into your mouth, it's going to go down to your stomach, it's going to be processed, and it's going to be eliminated. That doesn't defile a man. But Jesus said, here's what defiles a man. Listen to it, people. Verse 18. Those things which proceed out of the mouth come from the heart, and they defile a man. For out of the heart proceeds evil thoughts and murders and adulteries and fornications and thefts and false witness and blasphemies. These are the things that defile a man, but to eat with unwashed hands does not defile a man. So Jesus says, get it right. Get it right. Thy word, the greatest message, have I hidden in my heart the greatest place. Would you look at Matthew 5 and verse 20 with me? This is an important passage that we all understand. Jesus, when he delivered the Sermon on the Mount, talked about how righteous you need to be. And he said in Matthew 5 and verse 20, I say to you that unless your righteousness exceeds the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, you will by no means enter the kingdom of heaven. There are those who have explained that verse this way, and that is they say we need to do more than the Pharisees. This verse is not talking about doing more acts of righteousness than the Pharisees. This verse is talking about being more than the scribes and Pharisees. What Jesus is teaching is that our righteousness has to go deeper than theirs. It has to exceed their righteousness because their righteousness is on the surface. Ours goes deeper. Guess where it goes? It goes to the heart. I want to give you two examples. We won't look at the whole chapter. But in verse 21 and 22 of Matthew 5, he says, you have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not murder. Whoever murders will be in danger of the judgment. So the Pharisee would say, you cannot murder anybody. But I want to tell you what, they could hate somebody with sheer venom. And that was all right. But Jesus said in verse 22, but I say to you, whoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment. And whoever says to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. And whoever says, you fool or empty head, shall be in danger of hell fire. What's Jesus saying? Jesus is saying, look, guys, if you want to deal with murder, nip it in the bud. And where you nip it in the bud is in the heart, at the place where anger begins. So can you see that Jesus says, I'm not talking to you about murder, I'm talking to you about getting anger down. You get anger down, you're not going to have to worry about the rest. You get it right in the heart, everything else is going to follow. We're real familiar with verse 27. You have heard that it was said to those of old, you shall not commit adultery. Now don't commit adultery. Jesus says, go deeper. Go deeper. Verse 28. I say to you that whoever looks at a woman to lust for her has already committed adultery with her in his heart. And so Jesus says, get it right. In the heart. Now why is that? It's because of what Proverbs 4 and verse 23 says. Proverbs 4. And verse 23. Proverbs 4 and verse 23. Keep your heart. God says above all things, keep your heart with all diligence. Why? Because out of it springs the issues of life. Everything comes from the heart. And so Jesus says we need to be fountain watchers. We need to keep watch over the pool all the time. It's like I've told you about in years gone by, when people had running water that would run to the, it really wasn't coming through pipes, it came from a spring up on the hill, and it would work its way back down to the bottom of the house. But they would always go and check the spring, because an animal might die and fall over in it. You know, if you got a possum that falls in your spring up there, you're going to have possum in your dipper. And so we need to go up there and check the spring every so often, because whatever's up there is going to come out down here. That's what Jesus is teaching. Whatever is here is going to come out. And that's why we need to hide the word in our hearts. And I want to tell you one more reason you need to write it on your hearts. It's because when you write it on your heart, other people can see it. Other people can see it by the way you talk, by the way you think, by the way you act. They can just see it. And you become a Bible that people read because it's written in your heart. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse 1. Paul, in 2 Corinthians 3 and verse 1, says, "Do we begin again to commend ourselves, or do we need, as some others, epistles of commendation to you, or letters of commendation from you?" Paul is saying, do I have to write a letter to the church at Corinth? Do I have to have a letter of approval to you? I mean, he was the one who converted them. But in verse 2, he says, "You are our epistle, written in our hearts, known and read by all men. You are manifestly an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with ink, but by the Spirit of the living God. Not on tablets of stone, but on tablets of flesh, that is of the heart." He says it's written on your hearts, and people can read it. Just the other day, somebody was sharing with me a story that really meant a lot to me. But talking about an opportunity that he might have with somebody at work. And the person has just begun to ask questions about the Bible and about life and those kind. Well, I know why. I know why. Because they could read the person. And what you need to know is that people are doing that all the time. People are reading you all the time. If they know you profess to be a Christian, they're going to read you. And it's important that when they read you, they read the right thing. That's why we sing the song in our books. It's called The World's Bible. And there's one particular line that I really love in it. It says, "We are the only Bible the careless world will read. We are the sinner's gospel. We are the scoffer's creed. We are the Lord's last message given in deed and word. What if the type is crooked? What if the print is blurred?" We're all the Bible some people are ever going to read. And that's why it's important that we get it off of here and into here. And it's lived out every day. It makes a powerful impact. And then our last point this morning is, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I might not sin against thee." That's the greatest purpose. I mean, we're not just trying to put it in there for no reason. We want it put inside so that I don't sin against God. And I want to tell you, when you have spent time reading Jesus, and I mean going to the scene and coming to know Him, and you've spent time coming to know God, when you break the law of God, you're not going to feel like you've just broken some rule out of a rule book. It's going to break your heart because you realize my sin is against thee. My sin's against thee. And I don't want to sin against thee. You remember Peter? What did Peter do? Peter in Luke, the 22nd chapter, got under pressure as they were saying, you know, "Surely you were one of them." And Peter, with swearing, says, "Man, I'm not." And that third time, the rooster crows. And in Luke 22 and verse 61, it says, "The Lord turned and he looked at Peter. And Peter remembered the word of the Lord, how that he had said to him, 'Before the rooster crows, you will deny me three times.' And then Peter went out and he wept bitterly." He did. He did. Why? Because he had sinned against Jesus. And it broke his heart when he did. And that's why we want to take the greatest message and hide it in the greatest place, so that I might not sin against thee. Our aim is not a perfect record against a rule book. Our aim is to be like Jesus. Our aim is to be like Him in everything that we do. And as was mentioned in Bible class, my auditorium class last week or so, it is only by His blood that we are able to stand before God, perfect and complete. I'm going now to Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29. Colossians 1, 28 and 29. In Colossians chapter 1, verse 28 and 29, Paul, speaking of Christ, says, Him we preach. Him we preach, warning every man and teaching every man in all wisdom, that we may present every man perfect in Christ Jesus. Do you realize that when it's all said and done, you can be presented perfect before God? Not because you've been perfect, not because you've never made a mistake, but it's because in those moments when we do sin against God, it breaks our hearts and we bring it to Him and we beg His forgiveness and we say to Him, God, if You'll forgive me, I'll strive not to ever do that again. And He forgives us. And He applies the blood of Christ, and the slate is clean, and all is well between us and God. We can be perfect through His blood. But oh, how it still hurts when we sin against Him. Well, can you take that with you? Can you use that? Let's just black that screen and see if we've got it. Thy Word, the greatest message, right? Have I hid in my heart the greatest place that I might not sin against Thee? The greatest purpose that anybody could have in life, living holy and striving not to sin against God. I hope that'll help us. It should. It should be something we can tuck away and we can use it many times over. If you're here this morning, you've not obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, we're going to sing a song now to encourage you. And if you're here and you need to obey the gospel, we hope you'll think seriously about the words as they're sung, and that they too will penetrate into your heart, and that you'll take a few courageous steps this morning down this aisle. I'll meet you here at the front. I'll take your hand. I'll ask you if you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. And if you confess with your mouth that you do, we'll baptize you this morning in a watery grave of baptism. You can rise to walk in newness of life and, living faithful to God, be with Him forever. Would you come while we stand and as we sing?